This is The Way of Fairness. My name is Stephen Childs. This is podcast number 4. The guilty blame the innocent. Those that are guilty are with falsehood, and they blame those that are innocent, that are with truth. The people that are with truth are being wrongfully blamed for causing the problems. We are not concerned about the past. It's history. We need to learn from it. We're concerned about the present only. We can't change the future from the past. Let the past go. We can change the future now, in the present. Everyone has been guilty, but no one needs to stay guilty. We're forgiven when we decide to be fair and to not wrong people now and from now on, as best we can. Historically, in the past, religion has had a monopoly on morality, on that which is right, that which is wrong, that which is true, and that which is false. But that's not the case now. I suppose everybody's heard the idea that religion causes more wars than anything else. I don't know if that's true or not. It's definitely one of the main causes of war, I would think. There's a fact to this. So I'm trying to find out the facts about this. So I did a search. Why religion is the cause of war? Why does religion cause war? And so I have a page pulled up here now, and there's an essay, and it says, religions lead to wars because they create a self of self-righteousness. I think that's false. I don't think they're on the right track on understanding what's going on here. I think they're misled, or they're trying to mislead. There's page after page of people arguing why religions don't cause war, why they're not a cause of war. So here's an example of taking things out of context and creating the exact opposite meaning of what was intended. So when I looked further into this heading that says religions lead to wars because they create a sense of self-righteousness, that those words are in bold type, but it goes on and it says they create a sense of self-righteousness in their believers' minds and convince them that the end justifies the means. Even when deconstructed, wars that may not seem to be religiously oriented tend to come down to religion in the end. Now, so the problem is in with the word self-righteousness. It's the same thing with righteous indignation or... I just did a search on righteous anger, and it starts off with righteous anger is being angry at all the things that oppose God. Unrighteous, evil, idolatry, impurity, and sin in the world without being motivated by sin. And then it continues, as Christians, we are to practice the things of God and follow Christ's example, including being angry at the things that God hates. So they're claiming that they have a monopoly on what sin is, what righteousness is, and that to be angry at things that God hates is not a sin. The religion also claims to have a monopoly on when someone is forgiven. In the way of fairness, we're forgiven when we stop doing people wrong. When we stop doing wrong to others, when we begin to be fair to everyone, then we're completely forgiven, and our past is totally a secret and irrelevant because it's history. We learn from it, but we can't change the future from the past. So they're saying that you're forgiven only by Christ, and that's the only way to be forgiven. And righteousness comes from the word right, so it's about right and wrong, which is about true and false. Here again, they're claiming a monopoly on what is true and what is false, what is right and what is wrong. Jordan Peterson is a proponent of the Bible, and he always brings up the example of Marxism causing the 10,000 deaths of Stalin, and that therefore the way to go is with the Bible. And then he'll tell you that he could tell you about books and books about this subject, so that he avoids accountability. And he's actually a skillful deceiver. He's a sophist in this sense. I was on Facebook this morning, and there's a post called Fragments of Mind, and he posted, "Today I got betrayed while my heart was pure. I'll never forget that shit." So there's a post by Hanif Ullah, and he says, "There is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit, and no better text than God's Word." So I posted, "They did you wrong. I am atheist." Now, if you are somebody who wants to believe in God, that's great. And if God is not actual truth, then what is your God? So what I'm saying here is, the only God that's big enough to handle all this is actual truth God. And the actual truth is that everything there is one thing. I call it the all-powerful all. And I don't care whether you call that God or whether you just call that the all-powerful all. It's all-inclusive. It's not divisional. It includes everyone and everything, and everyone and everything are equal. We all count the same. So an authority of the Bible has no more power than you do. And true power comes from being aligned with truth. And if you're not aligned with truth, something can defeat you. And it should defeat you if you're with falsehood. As a friend, we want people to correct us so that we're not making a fool of ourselves doing something that's wrong. You know what I mean? So we need to apply that same mentality to the people that are misguided from religion. Now, religion doesn't have to be from falsehood. It can be from actual truth. And we can create a religion that is about actual truth. Some of them are quite close to actual truth, and some of them are quite far away from actual truth. We have a division between religion and science. We don't need to have this. We can have religion update so that it's about actual truth too. Religion can focus on things of the heart that can't be measured. Science deals only with things that can be measured. So there's a need for the human side of things from the human heart. See, the human heart, that's symbolic. So right there, we're not talking about something that's non-metaphorical. When we talk about the heart, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for what? That's where science is not really designed, or nor does it even wish to look into what does heart mean. That's more like philosophy or the pursuit of actual truth includes that. I'm not anti-religion, nor am I anti-God, but religion and God need to be based on actual truth, whatever that is, and we need to admit that we don't know. No one knows what the actual truth is completely. That's where science is superior to religion, because it's not based on making any claim that this is the actual truth that's never going to change. This is just the understanding that we have right now. in prehistoric times, before we had writing, there was like what we think the truth is, and it was religion, it was philosophy, and it was science, all as one thing. There was no separation in the areas of study yet. In fact, that reminds me of an awesome book by Edward O. Wilson, Unity and the Consilience of Knowledge. And when I started reading that book, I got the idea of it, how all these separate areas of thought merge together to create this incredible understanding of reality. And it's like a unification of all the separate areas of study, and that's what we had before we had writing. And back then, we had people lying, and we had people telling the truth. We had people doing others wrong, and we had a way to stop them from doing others wrong. And that was what was became, later it became religion, philosophy, and science. But at first, it was unified, and it was like, we can't allow you to be unfair to us. And it was as simple as that, and it can still be that simple on how we determine what is moral and what is not moral, if it's fair or if it's unfair. All of our laws need to be based on creating fairness for everyone. In other words, justice for all. If our religions are not based on creating fairness for everyone, what are they based on? And my position here is that if they're not based on creating fairness and actual truth for everyone, they're misguided. They're off track. So if I do use the word God in something that I am in service of or devoted to, I'm talking about actual truth. And actual truth leads towards fairness from a human point of view, because we do have goodness within us as well as evil, or we are fair as well as being unfair, and the fairness is superior, because everybody wants it. No one wants to be done wrong, and so the actual truth supports fairness. It doesn't support unfairness. So going back to Marxism being created from the unfairness of religion and the unfairness of the economics of the day. So they became atheist, and they took over with violence. And that was what was designed in Marxism, was to take over with violence. But when they took over with violence, they never gave up that violence. And so now, instead of liberating the people from unfairness, they just put their people into a different form of unfairness. So Marxism was misguided also. The only reason is ignorance for humans being divided and fighting against each other. It's ignorance, and there's no reason for it other than we're stupid. So look at who benefits from having this status quo as it is. People that are wealthy, that are making money from selling arms, for example. They're benefiting from having religion stay as it is, keeping people in conflict, and having politics, keeping people in conflict. Having attorneys write the laws that protect them in their greed and in their rule of the masses. So there will be many attorneys that understand what I'm saying and support the fact, if we want to have peaceful world and if we do want to have justice for all, we need to change the way we're writing laws, so that all the laws are based on creating fairness for everyone. And the attorneys that are fair-minded, they will agree with what I'm saying. See, if we have a transition day and we change into a world of fairness from a world of unfairness, then people are not going to be worried about how they're going to make their living and whether something's going to cost them money, whether they're going to make less profit or they're going to have a lower income because they're choosing fairness. That's not going to be a concern, because it's what we're choosing is a wonderful way of life and an improvement and a world that our grandchildren can be born into and their grandchildren without all this conflict and all this unfairness. So I'm getting some distraction from outside thoughts, and I don't need to know the past. It's irrelevant. I don't need to know what happened. In the way of fairness, when we agree to be fair, our past is secret. It's private. And we have that right as long as we agree to be fair to everyone. If we're not doing others wrong, we have privacy. If we're doing other people wrong, we don't have privacy. It becomes our right to find out who's doing us wrong and how they did us wrong. Everyone has been guilty of doing others wrong. But that was in the past. We're no longer guilty in the present if we're not doing people wrong. And that's what we're concerned about. We're not concerned about the past. Our personal lives are private. As long as we're not doing other people wrong, they should stay that way. Our personal lives should be our own secret and they should be private. There really is a battle between good and evil, and I'm describing it in this podcast, what it's really about. It's about fairness and unfairness. Fairness is good, unfairness is evil. How else are you going to define the two terms? I don't have to accept any other definition, and neither do you. Actual truth is the only authority, and that's what we support. That's what we're devoted to. We're devoted to the actual God. If you want to call it God, great. If you want to call it the actual truth, that's the same thing. So this idea is unifying. It unifies atheists and non-atheists. So this is my life's purpose, and I've been able to get myself out of any depression that I've fallen into by continuing to work on the way of fairness, and everybody's invited to make this your life purpose. It's like the only life's purpose that we should all have, as well as our other goals and purposes, but we should all have this purpose of stopping unfairness to anyone. Have a great day.